the hydrogen hubs would obviously create jobs and also fast-track Australia's push to be a, quote, global leader in the new energy economy. But the previous government, now in opposition, are concerned that perhaps the new government won't honour those commitments. With more on that, joining me now is the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Ted O'Brien, who's on the line. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, nice to speak to you.
Likewise.
The Prime Minister was on Sky News yesterday. He had this to say about commitments made by the previous government.
The industry department will honour all contracts that have been entered into. There are a range of these programs were announced but not contracted, including during the election campaign. And the department is examining the merits of them. Those decisions will be made very shortly after advice from the department. We want to make sure that proper process takes place here. And what we've seen with the former government is that the process was just thrown out the window. The Westminster traditions were trashed, proper parliamentary processes were ignored, and people were kept in the dark from this shadow government that was operating.
That's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese yesterday on Sky News. So you're saying, look, any contracts that have been signed, they'll honour them, and they'll just have to wait to review other commitments that your government made. And that's fair enough, I would have thought.
Well, it certainly sounds fair enough the way he's trying to position it. However, when we're looking at the hydrogen hub here in Newcastle, that was a $100 million commitment that didn't come on the eve of an election. That is a fully budgeted commitment, something that had already gone through a thorough due diligence and, in fact, had Labor MPs backing the project.
Oh, yes.
After we and the coalition had announced it. Now, since coming to office, the Albanese government has confirmed various projects, and we are left absolutely baffled as to why the Port of Newcastle's hydrogen hub has just been left sitting there. This is too big a deal, not just for Newcastle, but for Australia. You only have to look at the world right now to understand the importance of energy. And here we have an opportunity for Newcastle to build quite an extraordinary clean hydrogen hub that will put it at the forefront of global trade, and Labor's just sitting on it.
Well, and of course your government committed to this gas peaking plant at the former Hydro Aluminium smelter at Currycurry, and construction of that is certainly well underway, and the Albanese government have said they want that run on hydrogen, so it's got to come from somewhere. So,
Richard, this is it, and that's why I'm in Newcastle today. We need to put as much pressure as we can on the Albanese government to just get on with this. I mean, the more that I've come to know people of the Hunter, you know, they don't want handouts. They just don't want opportunities stripped away from them. It just does not make sense from a straight national interest economic perspective, let alone what it means to the people here locally.
Yeah. Again, though, just following on from what the Prime Minister said yesterday on Sky News, it does say that, you know, they haven't dismissed these things. They're just evaluating the proposals and the commitments that have been made. And as he did say, any contracts that have been signed, they obviously will honour them. So we wait with bated breath. But interestingly, Ted, we haven't spoken before.
No.
You're an advocate for nuclear power, aren't you?
And I am indeed, Richard. I'm certainly an advocate for it to be seriously considered. There is so much pressure on the world at the moment to decarbonise economies. And a lot of our peer countries, a lot of our closest allies have nuclear energy as a really important part of their energy mix. But here in Australia, we don't even consider the technology. And we've been very open, very public, all through last term of government, and again, as we now enter opposition, that we are looking at the new and advanced nuclear technologies. The Albanese Labor government's just refusing to talk about it. They don't even want a public conversation. Given nuclear is a zero emissions technology that can be run at industrial scale, and despite what some people think, it has proven to be the safest technology in the world when it comes to energy production. I don't understand why the government won't even consider it.
Well, and we have plentiful supplies of the raw material needed for nuclear energy too, Ted.
Indeed, we've got the biggest reserves in the world of uranium, and we are already a nuclear nation. I mean, you know, we've been running a nuclear reactor, not for energy generation, but the Opal reactor, that's been run just outside of Sydney now for, you know, well over 60 years. We will be having nuclear submarines. That decision's been made, bipartisan support. And we're trying to decarbonise the economy. And, I mean, the UK, for example, I was speaking to the UK's minister only a month ago with Peter Dutton. They're looking at 25% nuclear to achieve their net zero target by 2050. Here in Australia, I can't even get the government to agree to have a conversation about it.
I might add, though, it's the same applies to coal-fired power stations. There doesn't seem to be a great deal of appetite on the private industry to want to build these things, though, Ted.
No, Richard, I have a different view on that. Where countries do embrace nuclear energy, the private sector is lining up. What excites me the most is the new and advanced technologies. You might hear the expression small modular reactors. These are probably the most exciting technology, and the private sector is right behind it. This is where instead of you going to a site and building from ground up a bespoke large facility, you're talking about smaller reactors that come off the manufacturing line in a big factory. You take it to site and basically plug it in. These are the ones that are really exciting. They're far smaller. They're based on the same technology that has been used for years. They're smaller, they're safer, and they're more economical. They're the ones that the private sector are getting most excited about.
All right. A discussion yet to be had, but one you definitely think we should be having. My guest is Ted O'Brien, who's the federal member for Fairfax on the Sunshine Coast in beautiful Queensland. Ted is the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy and is in Newcastle today. You have a very interesting background. You've lived in Taiwan. You've studied Chinese Mandarin in Taiwan. You've lived in China. You've lived in Hong Kong. You've written extensively about China, and certainly China, particularly in relation to Taiwan, is certainly a real focus at the moment. You're also an advocate of Australian negotiating a free trade agreement with Taiwan, which I believe at the moment the United States are looking at, some sort of a trade agreement with Taiwan. Many argue very dangerous to have a free trade agreement with Taiwan, given that it will upset China. You're still definitely a fan of some sort of a trade agreement with Taiwan?
Richard, the challenge that we have with looking at either a trade agreement with Taiwan or encouraging Taiwan to join what's referred to as the CPTPP-11, which is an enormous trade agreement of 11 countries, us being one, is that those who don't want it to happen will always say it's a bad time. When our relationship is very good with communist China, people will say, oh, look, don't upset the relationship. It's going well at the moment. When relations aren't good with communist China, people say, oh, gee, don't do a Taiwan deal now. They're already upset. And so my view is quite simple. You don't do a deal with Taiwan on trade to upset China. I mean, that would be a foolish thing to do. But if it is in your national interest to deepen relations with another state, another economy like Taiwan, then you should seriously consider that. That's my argument here. I think it is in Australia's interest, in Taiwan's interest, in the Indo-Pacific's interest for trade to be deepened. And to that end, I read with great interest that the United States is looking at doing a trade deal with Taiwan. But the more we can deepen our trade relations, diversify our trade and services, the better. And Taiwan is already a trusted partner, and we should continue to treat it as such and deepen the relationship.
Look, on the same subject of China, last Wednesday on the occasion of Vietnam Veterans Day, I spoke with Gary McKay, who's a Vietnam veteran. He won the Military Cross, and he's been on a number of government committees looking at issues to do with veterans. And I asked him if he thought that the prospect of Australia getting involved in a war with China was a real possibility, and he said he thought we would get sucked into a war with China. He reckoned it was inevitable sometime within the next 3 years. Would you agree with that?
Oh, look, Richard, I purposely avoided trying to put a timeline on any potential conflict with China, and so forgive me, I won't do so this morning either. Other than to say we have to be very clear-eyed about the risks in the Indo-Pacific. We're in a period of heightened tensions right now. We are a middle power. There's no relationship more important in the world at the moment than that of the United States and China. If there is any mistaken steps or let alone purposeful conflict, then that would be dire for the world. And of course, Australia would not be left unaffected.
Okay. As a sitting Liberal member in federal parliament, do you think Scott Morrison should resign?
Look, any decision of Scott Morrison's should be Scott Morrison's in terms of his position. As I'm sure, Richard, a lot of your listeners understand, it's up to the Australian people to elect their House of Representative MPs. I'm not a constituent in the seat of Cook. I live up in the seat of Fairfax. I think it's the residents of Cook and Scott Morrison himself who will be the ultimate deciders of that.
All
he's
right.
Already made his explanation, and he's also rightly apologised.
Yeah.
And so let's see where this lands.
All right. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I'm glad you're in Newcastle banging the drum for my neck of the woods. And I must ask you, you started your professional life as a trainee baker with your family company, Defiance Flour. Do you still make any bread these days?
Oh, mate, only at home. So I love doing it, but I tell you what, every year they come out of the oven a little bit flatter and denser than they should be. But anyway.
All right.
But loving being in Newcastle, Richard.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Have a good day.
Yes, cheers, mate.
Ted O'Brien, he's the Federal Member for Fairfax, and he's also the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy.